Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we have 2 months left in the year. We're closing in on our 18th year, and we praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for all the prayers, the provision, the radio station, and most of all for you, the listener. And we praise God for new listeners each week, and we thank you, those of you who've been with us for many years now. We thank the Lord for you, and we hope you're doing well. We bless you, and we invite you to keep coming back each and every Sunday as we bring the good news of the gospel, the good news that saves and encourages, strengthens us, and promotes us to our heavenly home. And so we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about part two in our messages on Israel. And this is brought about because of the war that has erupted over there, the attack by the Hamas terrorists on the nation of Israel. And so this will be part two. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Genesis chapter 15. We'll take up this message here in just a minute. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be taking up this message on Israel, part two of our discussion about Israel here in just a minute. First, I want to give you a brief update on what's going on here in Africa. We're getting rain again now. The short rains of the fall season are here, and we just need another rain or two. We'll have a beautiful maize crop coming into full maturity here in just a week or so. So we thank the Lord for that, the good crops out there, the beans we've harvested, and we've got lots of vegetables. So it's been a good growing year this second half of the season. And so we praise God for that. The children are out of school, and they've got lots of play time and free time. We're trying to keep them busy with farm chores and cleaning and all that stuff. And so we pray for the children and their future. We pray for the nation of Kenya. Economic situation here is not good at all. Way too much debt for this small country. Not enough income, not enough taxes coming in. And so much corruption, so much of the tax money is stolen and doesn't reach the intended project or the intended receiver. And so this country is in a great economic struggle. The Kenya shilling is falling quite rapidly in relation to the U.S. dollar. And so we pray for wisdom for our leaders here in Kenya as well. Well, today we're going to be talking about part two in our series on the nation of Israel. What is our stance in this war between the Hamas terrorists and the nation of Israel? Are we to clamor for a peaceful solution or peace, as some are speaking, and ceasefire and a pause in the conflict? And beloved, I want you to know that I love peace as much as anybody, and nobody likes war that I know of. Nobody wants war. Even the people who make money off of war, I don't believe in their heart they like war or love war. And so we all desire peace, but there's times that we have war. Jesus said in Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 6, he said, "In the end time, there will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines in various parts of the world, and wars and rumors of war." And he said, "See that your heart is not troubled." See that your heart is not troubled. Don't let this war that has broke out in Israel take you down and make you forlorn and sad day after day. Yes, we need to keep up with the events, the current events of the day, but don't let it drag you down. This is a fulfillment of prophecy, because Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And especially, wars will be circulating around the nation of Israel, because this is God's chosen nation. These are God's chosen people. Israel is the apple of God's eye, and Jesus Christ is coming back to this piece of land, this little parcel of land on the east side of the Mediterranean Sea. This is where Jesus is coming back. And so the spirit of the Antichrist and the nations around Israel, you know who they are, the nations around Israel that have sworn for the defeat of Israel and sworn to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, they're speaking from the spirit of the Antichrist. They're speaking death and destruction. And so as a result of that, they're not going to be satisfied with a peaceful coexistence. There is no such thing, and there will be no such thing as a two-state solution unless the nations that are opposed to the nation of Israel drop their demands to wipe Israel off the face of the earth and drop their demands and their hatred for Israel. There will never, ever be a two-state solution. And we know now that this is coming from the nation of Iran, one of the axis of evil, one of the nations of evil. And so Iran is the head of the snake, and Iran is famous for saber rattling and threatening and all kinds of boastful threats against Israel and against the United States. And beloved, when Iran says they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, you can take that as a promise that that is what they intend to do. They're not just being boastful and blowhardy. They are saying what they intend to do, and given the right opportunity, given the right armament and materials to build nuclear weapons, that is what they will do. And so we need to take it seriously. And you can't walk around, well, I guess you can in America, walking around crying for peace, peace, when Iran and some of the nations of the world are demanding and shouting death to Israel, death to the United States, death to the big Satan. That's us. And at some point in time, you have to recognize the reality of the situation and just say, this is it. And if you're a child of God, you have to say, we have to defend ourselves. And God gives us the right to defend ourselves. Read Romans chapter 13, first few verses, first four or five verses in Romans 13, and you'll see that the state or the government has been given the authority by God to bear the sword. What does that mean? They bear the sword for the defense of the citizens of that nation. They defend the citizens, and we have that right to defend ourselves in America, even in our own houses. We can bear arms to defend our wife, defend our children, defend our possessions. And so the nation also has the right, and it's the government's responsibility to defend the citizens, and the government has the right to bear arms. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, first few verses, that the government does not bear the arms in vain. They bear the arms to carry out the will of God, to carry out the purposes of God in the nation. And if the government and if the nation is a godly nation, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If the nation is a godly nation, God will help that nation protect their citizens, protect their land, protect their territory, protect their resources. That is the will of God. And so sometimes you have to do it with weapons. Sometimes you have to do it with missiles. Sometimes you have to do it with planes and bombs. That is just the nature of the world we live in. And so that is the reality of this war between Hamas and Israel. Well, I'm going back to Genesis chapter 15, and this is the covenant that God makes with Abram regarding this piece of land, because this piece of land, there's always been contention for centuries over this piece of land, but God gave this piece of land to the children of promise, and they are the people that are on the land now, this day. They are the children that are on the land this day, and so they have a right to defend the land that God gave them. Well, in Genesis chapter 15, God is speaking to Abram, and God says to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of Chaldeans, that's over in Iraq, present-day Iraq, to give you this land to inherit it. And Abram was standing in the land of Canaan at that time. He's standing there looking over the land, and God is saying to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of the Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And Abram said, Lord, how will I know I will inherit it? So Abram had a question of God, as anybody would, because God was giving him a good land. Abram had come to this land from his home in Ur of Chaldeans in Haran, and he had come to this land stepping out of faith. And he didn't know exactly what God's plan was for him. He didn't know what God's plan was for his family and his descendants. And so God says to him, this is the land that you are going to inherit. And then the Lord said to Abram, when Abram says, how will I know? Abram says, how will I know I will inherit it? And the Lord in verse 9 says, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Well, there's five different categories, or five different animals and birds there. That is a picture of grace. Five is the number of grace, and it's the number of the fivefold ministry, the ministry we have now. The church is founded on the fivefold ministry, and was given to men by Jesus Christ himself. These are the structural gifts, the office gifts of the ministry, the fivefold. But the three-year-old heifer, the three-year-old female goat, and the three-year-old ram represent Jesus Christ. Those are symbolic of Jesus Christ, our priest, our prophet, and our king. And then the turtle dove and the young pigeon represent Jesus Christ being led by the Holy Spirit, his obedience to the Holy Spirit. And so in this verse 9, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is presented to Abram. And then he brought all these to God and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And so there's a blood sacrifice here given to God by Abram, and a blood sacrifice, and this represents Jesus on the cross. Jesus went to the cross. He shed his perfect, precious blood. The Lamb who was slain on the cross, slain from the foundations of the world, he shed his perfect, precious blood for you and me, for our sins. He paid the ransom and atoned for our sins with his own precious blood. And so the cutting of these animals, their blood was shed as a symbolic gesture and a showing that this was a covenant between Abram and God. And so in verse 11, when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And this is a picture of the devil. He comes to destroy the works of God. This is a picture of the devil, the vultures. Always depict the works of the devil, and the vultures try to carry away the sacrifice and the blood sacrifice that was given here by Abram. And so Abram chased the vultures away, and even today vultures come where the dead are, and they come where the killed animals are, and where there's blood and guts, vultures always show up. It's interesting, when you go to the Maasai Mara here in Kenya, the vultures and the lions many times fight over the dead animals, and hyenas are there also, and there's always vultures that come swooping in. The lions chase them off, and then the vultures come back, and the lions chase them off again, so there's a fight over the carcasses of the dead animals. Well, in verse 12, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And so God is telling Abram about they're going to be afflicted and oppressed in the land of Egypt. God didn't say Egypt at that time. He's just saying you're going to be in a land for 400 years, and your descendants will be there and be oppressed by this nation. And then the Lord says, and also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Well, we know the children of Israel came out of that nation of Egypt. They came out, they plundered the Egyptians, took all the gold and silver, they took the jewelry, and they plundered the Egyptians. And God judged them because Pharaoh and the Egyptians came after the children of Israel as they were attempting to go to the wilderness area. God judged the nation of Israel. They led them into the Red Sea, and the Red Sea closed on the Egyptians in their chariots, and they were all drowned in the Red Sea. And so that was the judgment pronounced upon them. Then the Lord God reestablishes his covenant with Isaac in Genesis 22, verse 17, and in Genesis chapter 26, verse 4, reestablishes to Isaac. Then he goes on to Jacob. So now I'm going to jump over to Genesis chapter 28, and now we have Jacob, who is grandson of Abraham, and Jacob is going to get confirmation of the covenant that his grandfather Abraham made with God regarding this piece of land. And so in Genesis 28, verse 12, it says, Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. And at this time, Jacob was also in that same land, in the land of Canaan, and he was near Beersheba, and he was looking at the land, and now he has been told that the Lord is going to give this land to his descendants. And in verse 14, and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so God speaks to Jacob here, and he tells him, in your seed all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, beloved, we're sitting here in this city here today, and you are a Gentile who's been grafted in to the tree with the Jews. You've been grafted in to that same tree, and God's children are the root, and we're the grafted in branches into that tree. And this seed that God is telling Jacob about, this seed is Jesus Christ, that in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And he doesn't use the plural seeds. He says, in your seed, there's only one seed that is the father of all of us, and that is Jesus Christ, the founder of our faith, the founder of our salvation, the founder of our blessings is Jesus Christ. And in that seed of Jesus Christ, all of the nations, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in verse 15, then, the Lord says, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And so God tells Jacob, I'm going to bring you back to this land. I'm going to fulfill all my promises to you. And God is not a liar that he should lie. When he promises something, we can take it to the bank. We can believe it. We can trust it. When God tells us something, and in regards to this piece of land, he's never broken his promise. He's never turned his back on the children of Israel. He's never turned his back on this piece of land. In fact, in 1948, he brought these children from all over the world, many, many nations around the world. In 1948, he brought them to this piece of land. God put them back on their land. They had their own language. They had their culture. They had everything that they had had from 70 AD and in the second century AD when they were scattered from this land. God then brought them back to this land. They had their culture. They had their language. Everything was intact. That has never been accomplished before in any nation or any people or any tribe or tongue of people in the world. Yet on this piece of land, God reestablished the nation of Israel in 1948, and the end time clock then started to tick here in 2023. Now we are 7 years post that time when God brought his children back to the nation of Israel. Well, in verse 16, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Yes, the Lord was in this place. That was the Lord Jesus Christ who was ascending and descending on that ladder that Jacob saw in the dream. Jesus Christ himself was ascending and descending on that ladder, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. They were going up to heaven. They were coming back down to God's land, to the nation of Israel. And Jacob said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And so Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Well, Bethel means the house of God, and so Jacob set up an altar there and a pillar and called it the house of God, the portal to heaven. And Jacob blessed the Lord there as the Lord gave him revelation about that piece of land. Well, I'm going to jump over to Zechariah in the Old Testament. Zechariah is toward the end of the Old Testament. And Zechariah chapter 12 is a very important scripture. It speaks about battles in the end day, because Zechariah was given revelation by God that people would come against the nation of Israel, that people would try to destroy Israel. And so this is a revelation and a word spoken by the prophet Zechariah hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus even set foot on this earth. And so now we're thousands of years after this prophecy was given. Zechariah 12, verse 1, "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heaven, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it." Well, this battle we're seeing between Hamas terrorists and Hezbollah and Israel now is not a complete and full prophecy that this word speaks about. We're seeing partial fulfillment of this prophecy right now. All of the nations of the world are not gathered against Israel and Jerusalem. This is a partial fulfillment, just a type and shadow of the battles yet to come, the end time battle yet to come. But God is giving a word and an inclination or a prophetic declaration about what will happen to the nations that come against Israel. And he says, "It shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all people. All who would heave it away will surely be cut to pieces, though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah, and I will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Well, I'm going to stop right there. You can see right now that God is not going to abandon Jerusalem. He's not going to abandon his people in Israel. And those who come against Jerusalem are going to pay a heavy price. You're going to see that here in the days to come. Those who have come against Israel are going to pay a heavy price, and they're going to be shocked and astounded. You're going to see something here, and people all over the world will know that God is with his people, that God is the one who protects Israel. He who watches over Israel, he does not slumber, he does not sleep. And Hamas and Hezbollah and probably Iran are going to find this out. Praise God for that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the IDF soldiers. Pray that God will show himself mighty to save for his children and for his land that he has given to the nation of Israel. Well, beloved, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, get on the side that is for Jesus Christ. Get on the side that can bring you peace, can bring you joy, can bring you deliverance, and Jesus Christ will show himself mighty to save you. He will show himself mighty to deliver you, to give you peace, to give you joy, and to set you free. If you don't know Jesus, confess him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. Turn to him. Turn from your wicked ways and rejoice. Get yourself baptized. Find some elders, find some pastor who can baptize you, and you'll be on your way in your Christian walk, serving the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of your salvation. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We hope you enjoy these broadcasts. We'd love to have your support. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you have prayer requests. We'd be happy to pray with you today also. And so if you would do that, we will be blessed. You'll be blessed, and the kingdom of God will be blessed. Stay tuned for contact information coming at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week. Then the Lord God reestablishes his covenant with Isaac in Genesis 22, verse 17, and in Genesis chapter 26, verse 4, reestablishes to Isaac. Then he goes on to Jacob.